Well, I'm not sure whether you caught this one, but not so long ago, a Dutch environmental group sued their government for not doing enough about climate change, and they won. So now the Netherlands has had to clean up their act. Closer to home, the survivors of the devastating 2009 Black Saturday fires in Victoria received a cool $500 million from the power company whose faulty wires caused that terrible blaze. Well, one Australian lawyer who's no stranger to bringing lawsuits against governments, he's not too optimistic that we could sue our government here for not taking action on climate change. George Newhouse is a lawyer, politician, an activist, and he joins me on the line. G'day, George.
G'day. It's a long time since I've been a politician, though.
Well, you did run against Malcolm Turnbull in Wentworth, didn't you, at one point?
Mate, that was over a decade
Okay,
ago.
I'm sorry. A lawyer, aspiring politician, and activist. I correct myself.
No longer aspiring, that's for sure.
Okay, got it.
But
You're not optimistic.
look, sadly, I'm not. And I think that what people don't understand is that Australia does not have a Bill of Rights. Europe and the United Kingdom and many other countries around the world have signed up to conventions on human rights and implemented them into their law. And without that, it's incredibly difficult to hold our governments accountable for their failures. You have had cases like the bushfire cases in Victoria where someone was to blame, where poorly maintained electrical wires had sparked and caused the bushfire. In that case, they were able to sheet home responsibility for the fire to that electricity supplier. It's not so easy where we're talking about climate change risk. And one other factor that we need to keep in mind, particularly with bushfires, is that even if there was a class action, you have to really question whether it's the federal government that you could sue, because the state governments are responsible for bushfire management, and I don't think you could actually mount a claim against the federal government in this situation.
Can you walk us through what happened with the 2003 Canberra bushfires that destroyed the Mount Stromlo Observatory? Many of us are familiar with that case. There was legal action as a result of that. Can you school us on what happened there and how that might be different or the same as this latest bushfires and any legal action that might come from them?
I think that the result of those two cases was very disappointing. The court was extremely conservative about holding the New South Wales government responsible for the damage that was done to Mount Stromlo and other buildings in the area and other farms in the area. Essentially, they said that the New South Wales Rural Fire Service did not owe those property owners a duty of care. They said that, there was no special relationship between the bushfire service and the owners of the property that engaged a duty of care between the government and those individuals, and that the court wasn't going to start dictating to governments how they should operate their bushfire management plans. These were decisions that were best made by politicians and not by courts. And they didn't want the bushfire brigades to start second guessing their decisions about which properties to save and how to fight the wildfire with litigation in the back of their minds, as long as they were using their best endeavours or were acting in good faith, they were not going to be held liable for the damage that was caused. And, the owners of properties made some very serious allegations against the Rural Fire Service and National Parks and Wildlife. They said that their firefighting strategy was flawed and that the damage was caused as a result of their botched strategy. But the court wouldn't have any of that. And that's been upheld in a number of other cases. And it really leads to the conclusion that unless you've got, and I hate to use this this phrase, a smoking gun, a cause that's directly linked to the fire, you are not going to get anywhere with our courts.
And we do know that so many of the big fires, in fact, the majority of the big mega fires, the Gospers Mountain fire in Blue Mountains, the Currawong fire down there in the Shoalhaven, and the Duns Road fire down near the Victorian border in the sort of Snowy Mountains region around Batlow and such, were caused by lightning strikes, and some of them burned for many days and weeks before they sort of got to civilization out in the bush, if that makes sense.
Correct.
I've just remind listeners, you're listening to 2SER. My name's Tim Brunero. Good to be with you. Speaking of George Newhouse, experienced lawyer, and very experienced in bringing class actions on a whole range of different areas of law. I want to say he's a politician, but I've already got in trouble for that. So he's a lawyer. George, I just wanted to finish by asking you, could it be, and I think you hint at this in your article, unless I'm reading it incorrectly, and by the way, George has got an interesting piece in the conversation today about this. You hint at this idea that it might be useful just to ventilate some of these arguments in court, even if it's not going to lead to a ruling, because the fact-based processes of a court case could be useful for the public debate. Is that a fair comment?
Well, that's what I'm hearing. Look, I do talk to a number of lawyers in our community, and there is a lot of pressure out there from individuals and organisations that are desperately concerned about the tipping point in climate change, and they want to force our government to act. So there are a number of them who argue with me on this point and say, well, look, even if we're wrong, this is a process that will bring out the truth. You know, you can't, it'll be based on the science and not the cult of climate denialism. So there are those who believe that the courts are a useful process, but it's not something that I would be recommending. Look, I strongly believe that the government needs to take action, but it needs to be pushed into doing that through the political process. I just don't think our courts in Australia are armed with the tools or the stomach to start telling our politicians what to do.
Just finally, George Newhouse, you, like me, probably occasionally put stuff up on Facebook and then just caught this barrage of nonsense from climate change denialists. So I just don't understand how there can be so many people who are just prepared to believe that there is no climate change, that the earth is flat, that pigs could fly. Where has this come from? Who do you think, where can we point the finger in terms of people who've perpetuated this argument that seems to carry no water but be believed by so many people? Where's it coming from?
Well, I've given a lot of thought to this question because I do try and understand the argument on the other side, and I think it really comes down to two things: either self-interest, and you know, you have the coal miners and a whole bunch of lobbyists who have a financial interest in perpetuating carbon emitting industries, and then there's a bunch of very sincere people who I think are in denial, because if you accept the science, if you accept what we're doing to our environment, it's a frightening conclusion that you come to. And I do understand on the other side the climate extinction protest, because you've got a group of people there who do see very keenly the impact of inaction. And I just think it comes down to a sense of denialism, because the conclusion that you come to, if you accept the science, is that we are on the precipice.
George Newhouse, on that note, could I thank you for coming on the show and appreciate you having a yak to us today.
My pleasure.